This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
I've got a startling statement for you today. Here it is. Regardless of how good of a Christian you are not going to go to heaven. And if that doesn't surprise you enough, wait till you see where you're going to be spending eternity with Jesus Christ. Stay with us as we explore this controversial statement.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, at the opening of the program, we attempted to present a simple question, yet somewhat startling perhaps for some of you, but only in the sense of the fact that, well, we understand many of you believe that if indeed you're a good Christian and you die, that you go off to heaven. And we understand there's some variations of this particular doctrine. Some of you of the more conventional, conservative type of denominations simply believe that your immortal soul becomes disembodied upon death, and you simply waft off to heaven to enjoy looking upon God, the beatific vision, as some Catholics would describe it, for all eternity. Secondly, those of you who are of more of the evangelical persuasion believe that Jesus is coming back in two phases. He's coming back secretly. He's coming back stealth. He's coming back undercover, incognito, and wafting you off to heaven for, depending on your understanding of this particular rapture doctrine, either 3 or perhaps as long as 7 years, and at the end of that time period, then bringing you back with him to set up the kingdom of God. And we also know that along with that understanding of if you're a good Christian, you go on to heaven, there comes this understanding that if you're not, and you fail to make the grade of being a good Christian and don't qualify, you go off to this place where you are going to be tortured and tormented for all eternity and constantly being tormented in a fashion that is going to cause you excruciating pain over and over in this place that's called hell. Now, we don't have a lot of time to, frankly, digress into the distinctions about eternal punishing and eternal punishment. And believe me, there is a very important distinction to be made on that. But suffice it to say, just let me say this, that God is not a spiritual masochist. He does not get any pleasure out of tormenting and torturing creatures that have been created in his own image. So let me just leave you with that. We'll leave that particular subject for another program, but please ponder the fact that God is, in fact and indeed, a God of love. He is not a God that gets enjoyment out of torturing and tormenting people. What I really want to talk about, though, today is this question about heaven. Do you, when you die, do you really go up to heaven? That is the question for today's program. But before I get into it, let me interrupt myself, as we usually do on the program, to introduce to you our offers. And again, these are free offers, my friends. All you've got to do is dial that 888-578-8791 number there on your screen. Don't forget about that website, too, at www.cgi.org. We have three items free being offered here. Two of them are pieces of literature. One is titled, Do You Have an Immortal Soul? And this is a very important booklet that will illustrate the premise of what I kind of hit on there at the opening of the program, that you really do need to have a better understanding, again, let me say this, of what your Bible says, not what my opinion is, not what any commentator opinion is, but what the Bible says. Secondly, we have another booklet called Man's Awesome Destiny, and of which is going to basically get into far more detail than what I'm going to be able to describe here with you today. In addition, though, we have this third offer, and this third offer is a CD presented by our executive editor of the Church of God International's publication, Mr. Vance Stinson. He presents this presentation called What is the Promise of the Saved? You need to hear this presentation by Mr. Vance Stinson. He will go into a very logical step-by-step process and expound for you the details of actually what I'm only going to be able to introduce to you today with. So take the time. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Don't forget about that website where, again, there are far more pieces of material that you can look at, consider, and explore for helping you to better understand your relationship with God at www.cgi.org. So, my friends, go ahead now. Don't hesitate. These are free. Let me remind you, they're free offers. Now, let's get back to this program on this question. And again, simply, the question is, when you die, if you're a good Christian, are you really going to go to heaven? Is that what the Bible really teaches? Is that what it really says? From Genesis to Revelation, can we prove that upon death, a human being, if indeed he pleased God, and satisfied all the expectations of what God wanted him or her to do, would that individual be rewarded with entry to the at the pearly gates where Peter, you know, as we've traditionally understood him, standing there, you know, with the clipboard, you know, okay, Bill Watson, yeah, we see your name here, yep, okay, entrance, you know, and hopefully that's what happens when I get up there, if indeed that would be the case, rather than, of course, the trap door opening, you know, and I fall down into this pit where I'm trying to avoid all these little demons running around in red stocking suits with pitchforks trying to stab me for all eternity, you see. And that's the concept we have. So again, I'm asking you, I'm just trying to say to all of us today, and it's important that we get this underscored in our minds. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe what this book has to say. So let's explore whether or not that is indeed a fact of what your Bible says. Are you, if you're a good Christian, going to go to heaven? Turn with me, if you would, I'm already there, at Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 2, talking about King David. A presentation is being given by one of the apostles, in this case it's Peter, and he mentions and says here, "Men and brethren," and he says in verse 29, Acts chapter 2, "Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher," his grave, his tomb, "is with us unto this day." Now, that doesn't seem to indicate that he's in heaven. As a matter of fact, it seems to indicate that he's in the grave, and the grave is still with us today. And you may say, well, no, but still, Bill, that doesn't really prove he's not in heaven. All right? Follow me with this. Over here in verse 34, because the presentation that Peter gives continues in verse 34. Notice he says, "For David," I mean, you can't get much clearer than this, my friends. Look at this. "For David is not," you see that? It's in there. Is not ascended into heaven. Now, this was the guy that was after God's own heart. That's the way David was described in the Old Testament. So you would think if there's anybody in heaven, it would be this guy, David. He'd be in heaven. Yet your Bible says he's not in heaven. Notice this over here in the book of Hebrews. Turn with me real quick over here in the book of Hebrews. The writer here, many who believe it was the Apostle Paul who wrote the book of Hebrews, but that's neither here nor there. Point is in chapter 11. Look at this, chapter 11, verse 13. And let me just paraphrase this for the sake of time. As I mentioned to you, this presentation is only going to introduce to you some of the things that we want you to understand. That's why I strongly encourage you to get the free offers on today's program. But here in chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, we see a whole list of names from the Old Testament that you know and I know are definitely people. Without a question, without a doubt, undeniably, these are the people that pleased God. So you would think that if anybody is in heaven, that these people, look at Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, I mean, Sarah. These are the people you would think are in heaven. But what does your Bible say? Look at in verse 13. It says, these all died in faith. Look at this. Not having. You hear that? Not having received the promise. Meaning, they're not in heaven. If, in fact, heaven is the promise, then we've got to, if we're honest with the Scriptures, concede the fact that the Bible says they didn't receive the promise. So if heaven is the promise, the Bible is saying they didn't receive it yet. And if that wasn't enough, look at over here in verse 39. It says it again. Look at this. Same chapter, Hebrews 11. And these all, and it lists now Moses, and even Rahab the harlot, and Abraham, and Jacob, and Joseph, adds more to this whole group of people. And says in verse 39, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, look at this, received not the promise. Now, if that wasn't enough, notice this over here in John. Go to John chapter 3. Now, I'm not going to have a lot of time to set this up, but I am going to essentially explain something to you real quick. This was a conversation Jesus Christ had with Nicodemus. And Jesus here is in discussion with Nicodemus. It's a friendly discussion. It's kind of like a give and take. These two guys were respectful to one another, toward one another. They were into the relationship with each other. It was not confrontational. There was nothing contentious about this. Nicodemus was by night sneaking there because he was a Pharisee. He had a reputation to protect, so he really didn't want people to know that he was knocking on Jesus' door, who had the reputation of being somewhat of a kind of rogue rabbi, you know. So Nicodemus was careful, but point being, he had this conversation with Jesus. He goes down through this discussion. It's a very interesting discussion. I don't have time to really get into the details. I'm just going to kind of cut to the chase here in verse 13 to show you and to illustrate, again, substantiation. That's right, some substantiation of the fact that nobody is in heaven. Notice this in John chapter 3, verse 13. Look at this. Words of Jesus recorded by John the Apostle. And he says, no man, do you see that? No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus is simply stating very clearly, without a doubt, the fact that nobody except him has gone back to heaven. This is, I know this could be startling for some of you, and I know, you know, the wheels are probably turning. What in the world is this guy talking about? How can he be saying this? All my life, I have been taught that if I'm a good Christian, I'm going to heaven. And you're probably beginning to try to think about some things that you could counter me with and perhaps debate with. And I'll give you that. I mean, that's the right thing to do, because all these things, I know how it was for me when I first was introduced to some of this stuff and literally started taking the Bible for what it said and begin to really digest not what a pastor might say from a traditional framing or a priest but or a commentator, but what the Bible said. And as we've often said, and let me remind you, my friends, don't believe me. Don't believe me. Believe what your Bible has to say. Now, I know some of you may say, yeah, but now wait a minute, Bill. What about Enoch? You mentioned Enoch earlier. Well, let's go back to Enoch. Let's catch up with Enoch over here in the book of Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. And I think here in Genesis, where is it? Chapter 5. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 5. And we see here a listing of particular individuals in this genealogy. And an interesting statement is made regarding Enoch. Now, everybody is told, or we're told, that is, in verse 14, that Canaan died. We're told that in verse 17, that particular individual, that he died. In verse 20, Jared. In verse 20, we're told he died. But interestingly enough, notice this. Here in Verse 21, we read, Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah, 300 years, begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch, notice, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Notice, it seems uniquely enough that the statement about the fact that he died is missing. And many people take that to the bank to illustrate the fact that Enoch never died, that he's actually up in heaven. Well, friends, let me go back. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, where we were before, and mention, as I mentioned, Enoch in this listing. In verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch, look at this, was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Now that Greek word simply means transport or to carry over. He was transferred and has nothing really to do with the fact of his death or his continued eternal life. It only mentions the fact that he pleased God and as a result was transferred or transported. And uniquely enough, in your Bible, it did say all of his days were 365, did it not, years? And furthermore, in Hebrews 11, we're told after we're seen here listing Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, verse 13, let me take you back to that. We're told very simply here, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Remember what it says here. What does your Bible say? It lists Enoch along with Abel, Noah, Abraham, and it says, these all died. So what are you left to believe? Has nothing, you'd have to admit that there is nothing really stating clearly that Enoch went to heaven as a disembodied spirit, because all of us know flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So consequently, Enoch can't be in heaven because we weren't told he was changed to spirit, were we? That's a whole different story. I know. Now, I know some of you are probably saying, all right, let's leave Enoch for a moment. What about Elijah? What about Elijah? Well, let's go back to the story here. Elijah, back to 2 Kings. Now, over here in 2 Kings, and Elijah, as many of you know, was a prophet. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, he's with his protege, Elisha. Now, Elijah, he was pretty much the journeyman. Elisha was kind of the apprentice. And he was, the two of them, they were kind of together quite a bit. And this was at the end of Elijah's ministry. And the transferring of the mantle of authority and the prophet role was now about to be given to Elisha from Elijah. And so a statement is made here where he says, you have asked a hard thing, that is Elijah mentioning this to Elisha. Nevertheless, if you see me, that is Elijah saying, Elisha, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so unto you, but if not, it shall not be so. And Elisha was asking for a double portion of Elijah's power. And it came to pass, verse 11, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, right away, they see the English word, we all do, heaven, and we begin to think of God's abode. We think of a different dimension, because don't forget, friends, God is not in the same dimension we're in. God is invisible to the physical eye. He's invisible to our dimension of time and space and three-dimensional depth, width, and height. God is not visible. He is in a different dimension. He is in a spirit dimension, which makes him invisible. This would mean, then, that Elijah would have had to translate himself. He would have had to have been transferred from this dimension to that dimension to go into that heaven. Is that what we're reading here? No, we're not reading that here. Your Bible has nothing to say about Elijah being transferred or transposed or translated into spirit. It just simply says he was picked up by a chariot of fire and transported in the heavens. And if you read the Hebrew word and get a concordance, you'll find out this Hebrew word, which is shama, simply means that it was in the clouds, the atmosphere. Elijah was taken by some kind of a chariot, horses, chariot of fire, and transported into the clouds and taken away. Now, in addition to that, look at this over here. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but if you go over to 2 Chronicles, and in chapter 21, 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Notice this here, of all things, some 10 years after what happened to Elijah, we find Elijah writing. Look at verse 12, chapter 21, 2 Chronicles. And there came a writing to him from Elijah to this king of Judah, I think it is, the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord God of David, thy father." So here we see Elijah is in fact writing a letter 10 years after he was translated. And if you go back, by the way, to 2 Kings there and read continuing, you'll find that Elisha actually was trying to discourage the people, other prophets who witnessed Elijah's translation, from going to look for him, which is clearly an indication that they understood that he was literally perhaps going to crash on the mountains. That's how low he was in his transferring on that chariot of fire. Now, I know some of you may say, all right, but what about the transfiguration? Well, time's running short on me here, but let's take this also, the transfiguration, over here in Matthew, the book of Matthew, and in, I think it is, chapter 17, we have the translation where Jesus himself was, transfigured with Moses and Elijah. And this is the story of the few apostles that were with him there. It was Peter, James, and John, his brother, and he brought them forth. This is Matthew 17, verse 1. He was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. And behold, there appeared unto them, verse 3, unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. The story goes on that then those two disappear. Jesus is left. A voice comes confirming the fact that Christ is indeed the Son of God. And you may say, well, now, wait a minute. What about this? Well, we know that Moses died. You can read about that over there in Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. We also know that his dead body was a point of discussion with Satan, the devil, and Michael, the archangel, over there described in Jude, verse 9. So we know that Moses isn't in heaven. So certainly what would make Elijah be in heaven? He's not. The fact of it is, my friends, look over here in verse 9. By Jesus' own admission, Jesus says to the disciples that witnessed this event, he says, look, tell the vision. Did you get that? Vision. I will kind of underscore this. The vision. Tell no man. The vision. That's what it was. It was nothing more than an aberration. It was a vision to illustrate the superiority of Jesus the Christ. So, where are the dead? Where are the dead? They are in the graves, waiting for a resurrection. Now, I don't have the time to digress, but simply read. Let me suggest, simply read Psalms chapter 6, verse 5. We'll put it up on the screen here. Psalms 103, verse 14, 115, verse 17, 146, and verse 4. And don't forget about the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, where it is in chapter 9, verse 5 through 10. Read all of those scriptures, my friends, because really, really what I want to address is, what is the resurrection for? That's really what's heart and core to this whole program. Those other scriptures will give you a better understanding of where the dead are. What really is the promise of the saved, my friends, is that you are called to become kings and priests. Revelation 5, verse 10. And you will reign on the earth. And the earth is going to become the location of the kingdom of God. Zechariah 14 and in verse 9, the Messiah is going to land there on the Mount of Olives. Friends, you need to get the literature. Go ahead and get it right now. Dial 888-578-8791. Ask the operators for these three items that we're offering to you today. The two booklets that we have here for you that are available free of charge, titled Do You Have an Immortal Soul? Man's Awesome Destiny, and the CD by Van Stinson, What is the Promise of the Saved? Stay with us for a few closing comments, and we'll see you back here again on the Armor of God.
Well, Bill was a man of his word, wasn't he? He gave you great controversy on a subject that, well, bothers Christendom in general. Because there are a growing number of people who have come to realize that the Bible, God's Word, does promise a reward, and that that reward will be experienced on the earth and not in heaven. For instance, let's take a look at the scriptures. Time ran out on Bill a little bit, so he wasn't able to cover these passages, but take a look at Zechariah, the 14th chapter in verse 9, and it says this, "The Lord," that's Yahweh, "shall be king over all the earth." Really? Not just in heaven? On the earth. "In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." In the same passage, it describes him as having his feet standing on the Mount of Olives. That's on the earth, not in heaven. But over in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, for those who feel the Old Testament is not relevant and that the New Testament is the only thing you go by, well, in the book of Revelation, here's what we discover in chapter 5 and verse 10. This is a promise to all who believe. This is a promise to all who are good people, if you will, who qualify for the kingdom. Here's the promise. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth," not in heaven. There are some leading religious figures who are coming to understand this, and I hope that you will want to understand it more, because I know you were born into a ready-made world that promised heaven as a reward. You had no vote about it. It was as it is. But now, I want you to know that you can learn more about this issue by availing yourself of the free material we're offering. We have three items for you today. First of all, a booklet entitled, "Do You Have an Immortal Soul?" Secondarily, "Man's Awesome Destiny," both in literature form, and in CD form in a sermon, "What is the Reward of the Saved?" by Van Stinson. All of these can be yours absolutely toll-free when you dial 1-888-578-8791. Till next time, I'm Bronson James here on the Armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.